Ricky Ponting does join us. He's part of Channel 10's Big Bash coverage, which begins tonight. We'll talk about the Big Bash in just a moment because we're looking forward to it. Yep. Ricky, thanks very much for your time.
G'day, guys.
We'll talk about the Big Bash in a moment. Just that I'm not too sure whether you heard the discussion we were having. And Steve Smith's under a fair bit of criticism this morning of the way he set the field up yesterday. Too defensive and almost cost him. It would have been a humiliating defeat. And the relationship between coach and captain and the discussions that go on before a day's play, Ricky, can you take us into that, please?
Punter's been both. He's been captain and coach now.
Yeah, look, I'm pretty sure there would have been an open discussion between the captain and the coach, and what, you know, the way they started yesterday's play, I don't think it would have been one of their ideas. It would have been a combination of both of their thoughts put together, I would have imagined. I mean, that was the way I always used to work with the coaches that I played under, with John Buchanan and Tim Nielsen and, you know, Mickey Arthur at the end there. But, generally tend to sit down and have a good chat. You know, I just like to include some of the senior players as well, especially once the game started, and get their opinions on the way the game was heading or where the game was going, because I knew that, you know, what I always thought wasn't going to be right all the time. So I like to get other people's ideas and advice. And then obviously I was the one that was, you know, making the end decision. But so you'd like to think with the way that the Aussie boys started yesterday, that was a collaboration of a few ideas. And I heard Chuck saying before, as I'm sure David Saker's opinion would have been thrown in there as well. So you'd like to think that's the way it works. I don't think I ever played with a coach that said this is the way it has to be, because at the end of the day, you know, the captain is the one that's running the ship out in the field.
Yep. What did you think of his field setup at the start, Ricky? What was your thoughts?
Yesterday's play, I was out with the kids having a bit of a Christmas day, actually. But I didn't see it. I've heard a bit of the comments on the radio, certainly this morning already, but you know, we are always quick to be critical on people as well. At the end of the day, they've won by, you know, nearly 40 runs, which is a significant margin, really, in a test match. And I know I've got a lot closer than what he would have hoped, Steve Smith would have hoped, and certainly the Australian public would have hoped. But at the end of the day, it's a test victory. And all of those players will learn. You know, Steve Smith will learn from it. Some of the other guys that he probably calls senior players out in the field will learn from it as well. And hopefully they'll be able to give him some advice going forward.
Punter, how do you see Steve Smith's captaincy emerge? I feeling of recent times, it's almost like he's grabbed the side now and said, okay, you know, I'm going to do it my way. You probably went through it. You're a strong leader and a highly respected one. But when you actually take charge of the ship, I felt Smith was sort of treading water. But of recent times, he seems to be stamping his authority a little bit more.
Yeah, he does. I mean, the thing that I love about him, he leads from the front, doesn't he? Yep. Whenever there's a tough situation with the bat, he's always the first one to put his hand up and get the job done. And that'll, you know, make the players gravitate more towards the way he is as a captain and as a leader as well. And that's the most important thing a lot of the time. You know, I've always found it really hard to judge captains from just what they do on the field with a bowling change or a field placement. Because as we know, Chuck, so much of the captaincy stuff happens off the field behind closed doors, where, you know, you're trying to spend as much time as you can with the guys and get to know about them a little bit better and make them find out what makes them tick and what doesn't. So that's the great challenge for captains, and probably more so these days with the guys probably playing that little bit more cricket. You don't get as much time, you know, away from the ground as you once did. But it does seem like, you know, since you know, these few changes have been made and a few of these younger faces have come into the side, it does seem once again from an outsider's point of view that Smith has said, right, it's my turn to really stamp my authority on this team, take a relief from the front and hopefully get some great results along the way. And they've started things well. I thought the response that they showed to win the test match in Adelaide against South Africa was exactly what Australian cricket needed at the time. And, and you know, from that moment on, things have seemed to go pretty well.
No, I agree with you. And looking forward to the next two test matches, Boxing Day and the SCG. Move off test cricket for a moment, Punter. The main reason we've got you on, you're part of a highly successful Channel 10 Big Bash coverage. It kicks off tonight. Are you involved tonight, or when's your first involvement? And Channel 10, first of all, give credit where it's due. It's been an outstanding coverage of the Big Bash. You must be proud to be part of it.
Oh, look, I love it, Chuck, actually. Yeah, well, the guys that I've been able to work with the last few years are some of my best mates out of the game. So, and that's sort of how we've tended to call the games as well. You know, we sit down and have a chat like with a few guys sitting on the couch at home or at the local pub watching the game and critiquing and analysing what's sort of unfolding in front of us. And I think the T20 game lends itself to that sort of style anyway. But I am involved. I've got the first game up in Sydney tonight against with the Sixers and the Thunder at Spotless. So looking forward to it. And the thing I like about it as well is, about this whole tournament is just how even most of the squads are these days. You know, you look at, you try and match these teams up, and it's really hard to actually try and predict a winner before the game starts, which is a good thing. But, I mean, you look at the teams tonight with the Sixers, they're pretty much their frontline bowling attack will be out, having just played in the Test match, was, you know, Stark, Hazelwood, Jackson, Bird, Nathan Lyon, these sort of guys. So they'll be tested a little bit there. And the Thunder have got a couple of holes in their squad from last year as well, with, you know, Callis and Mike Hussey not being there. It looks like Shane Watson might miss the first game or first couple of games as well, just getting out of a calf niggle we picked up in a practice game. So, but yeah, it's an exciting time of year again. It's the time that we all get back together, and the Big Bash is on just about every night for the next 5 or 6 weeks, which will be great.
Ricky Ponting has joined us, part of Channel 10's Big Bash coverage. Looking at all the teams, Ricky, ahead of the tournament starting, who's your favourite?
Oh, he's going to say Hobart again.
I generally do, Chuck. It's pretty hard to say that this year.
Yeah, it's true.
I like the look of Adelaide, I must admit. I like the look of the Strikers' outfit this year. Perth as well. The difficult thing to try and predict at the start of this is we're not sure what's going to happen with international selections either, and how many games a lot of the international players will miss. But, Adelaide, I like the look of. Perth have got an amazing record of being there and thereabouts over the last 4 or 5 seasons, and then you can't go past the Melbourne Stars. Are always find themselves at the pointy end of the season as well, because they have got so many, you know, class players and international players in their lineup.
Just on the 2020 game, Ricky, and you've been successful coaching over there in the IPL with the Mumbai Indians. We were discussing this yesterday. Interested in your thoughts. You are a batsman, but I've always maintained that the best bowling sides in 2020 tend to, most people can slog it over the fence these days, but the guys that have got great defensive bowlers or attacking spinners. You mentioned Adelaide. Adil Rashid's out and now John Holland's gone down. It'll alter their attack. Do you agree or disagree with me that bowling attacks tend to be the stronger 2020 sides?
No, look, I tend to agree there. I think if you have got guys that are very good defensively, then it obviously makes the job difficult. It doesn't matter how many you know, runs. You've always a chance to win a game, I guess. And and we've seen spinners play such a huge role, haven't we, in different domestic T20 tournaments all around the world. Probably not quite as much in Australia as some of the other places, but, yeah, those two losses for Adelaide are going to be keys, obviously, to them, to who the strikers can replace those guys with. But, it has been very much a batsman-dominated game over the years, but, as you say, if you've got some quality performers with the ball, guys that can bowl, you know, use the new ball first and foremost. Guys that can swing and get the new ball off the straight and then can come back late and nail their Yorkers or have great slower ball tactics, like someone like a Clint McKay, for instance, and a John Hastings, someone like that. Well, they're the guys that you want on your side. James Faulkner's another great example of, you know, good Yorkers, great slower balls, and that's why his one-day record's like it is.
Obviously, your passion's still there, Ponner. It's coming through in your voice. The Australian T20 team, there was some talk for a period that you may have had your hand up in the air. How far in discussions did you get with Pat Howard? Were you genuinely interested, or were you too busy with other things to take on? Because I know the Australian public were pretty keen to see Ponting back involved coaching.
With Pat, actually, about being the head coach of that T20 side, and there were a few things. Timing-wise, sorry, it wasn't perfect for me. I thought I could have been over in India with the IPL auction and things like that, but as it turns out, I won't be going back to coach in the IPL this season, so I've had a little bit more time on my hands than I did probably when the conversations first started. But the major thing that I said to Pat was it just seemed to me that it would be better suited to someone that was already in the Australian coaching system, you know, like Justin Langer or Jason Gillespie. Yeah, these sort of guys that are in the system already, rather than just having me come in from some nowhere and take over for a couple of games and then sort of go back out of the system completely once again. So that was my thought process behind the whole thing. So we'll wait and see where that all goes, Chuck. But yeah, I mean, you never say never. I love coaching. I love working with younger people, especially younger batsmen, is where I get a lot of the great thrill from. Is trying to have an impact on the way that they think about their cricket or play their cricket. So look, you never say never. As I said, I've got more time on my hands now than I did a few months ago, and we'll see what comes of it.
Panawi, thank you for your time. All the best tonight. We'll be tuning into the Big Bash. Keep enjoying it, keep entertaining us, and good to chat.